Welcome back to another Nerdcast mini episode. This is Jay, and I'm going to be looking at some more Secret Wars comics. This will be the third mini episode where I review some of the side series along with Secret Wars number 4. We start off issue 4 with the Thors fighting the Cabal again. Leaves off from the last issue. The story then moves to Strange's base, where he's explaining to the 616 heroes and Miles Morales what's happened, how long they've been missing. After all that, they go back to the Thor-Cabal battle, and one of the Thors gets a message to Doom about what's happening, and Doom watches the battle from his throne room. They see Strange and the 616 heroes show up and start battling the Cabal. Valeria calls the 616 heroes variables, and Doom goes to the battle. Everything kind of stops, and there's a discussion around being God. Phoenix slash Cyclops attacks Doom. Strange stops the fight. Strange and Doom are talking it off. And Strange says to Doom that he's scared of the 616 Reed Richards. And as a result, Doom kills Doctor Strange. Another solid issue in this main series. It's probably been the highlight of the series, or of all the different books that they've had for this. I give this one a 5 out of 5. As I said in the previous two recordings, a lot of the series I've been looking forward to were the X-Men related ones. And Age of Apocalypse is up there. We start off with Holocaust in the Savage Land, tracking down Doug Ramsey, Cypher from the New Mutants. Kind of an odd choice for a focal point, but I'm sure it's going to explain itself. He was being protected by Destiny. Holocaust ends up killing Destiny, and Doug is taken with him. We jump to New Cairo, the headquarters for Apocalypse, where Sinister tells Apocalypse that they've found the key to tell what the Friends of Humanity are up to, and that Holocaust is supposed to be bringing it back. They jump back to the Savage Land, and the X-Men arrive to save Cypher. The team is made up of Colossus, Dazzler, Iceman, Nightcrawler, Storm, and Exodus. They pretty much battle Holocaust to a standstill and destroy his containment suit, which causes a nuclear event to happen. Nightcrawler teleports Ramsey out of there. The X-Men all die. We're shown that Nightcrawler overexerts himself and he's killed too. Cypher's captured by Apocalypse's people and he's given over to the prelates for questioning, headed up by Cyclops and Havoc. They decide that Cypher doesn't know anything, but they're going to go ahead and take him to the flat scan community where all the regular humans are living in the barony run by Apocalypse. They show Captain Marvel is the sheriff there. She's approached by Burner, an X-Men with pyrokinetic powers, and he tells her that the prelates are coming. As the prelates are walking through the flat scan community, you start seeing random letters in the word bubbles, and that's what Cypher is putting together from the language. All of a sudden, he hears the virus will wipe out all mutants. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't know if he should say anything either, but then the X-Men attack. It was a solid issue. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot to take in. They showed Sabretooth and Wildchild as agents of Apocalypse, and it made me wonder how they ended up on that side, because in the previous Age of Apocalypse comics, Sabretooth and Wildchild are both on the X-Men. So I don't know if there's a different time frame here or if the reality's changed a little bit. They don't really explain it. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I gave this one a 4.5 out of 5. Next up is Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps number 1. It's a retro-style comic book with Captain Marvel being the only member of the team with powers. The rest of the Corps flies planes. They're on a training sequence when they discover Hydra's at the border of their barony, and they start to engage until the Thors show up. After the battle, the Corps fly back, but Captain Marvel investigates the battle scene and sees the Thor from their barony. She used to be a little girl, is kind of grown up, kind of surprised Captain Marvel, because she said that Doom forged her hammer from a star in the sky. And so Captain Marvel goes back to her camp, meets up with the Corps, and asks if any of them have noticed the star in the sky. One of the members, these are all new characters, so I didn't follow who was who too closely, but she said that she's been studying this and believes there's more to the sky than what they've led to believe, that they don't see stars, the sky just kind of ends and they don't know what's past it. They are given orders then to take out a boat, which they're told is full of Ultrons. But as Captain Marvel gets closer, she sees a person on the boat and tries to stop the team from firing on it. It's too late, though. The ship is blown up, and they think Captain Marvel's blown up with it. The Corps is ordered back by their command, even though they want to go save Captain Marvel. They show that Captain Marvel did survive, and she saved the person that she saw, realizes there weren't really Ultrons on that ship like they were led to believe. She sneaks back to the base with the guy she saved, and she tells the Corps she wants to go up into the sky. It was a fun read, a solid story. When I went back and read it the second time, something was just lacking for me. I don't know what it was. I gave this one initially a 4.5, but I'm probably going to drop it down to a 4 out of 5. It was still a solid story, and I'm curious to see where this goes, if this is a big part in figuring out how Doom pulled all this together. Now we have Secret Wars Battle World number 1. It's part of an anthology series where each issue has two different stories in it. And the first story was called Soldier Supreme, story of Punisher merged with Doctor Strange's spirit, and he's going from realm to realm, killing people. People that are somehow involved with Doom. They don't really go into too much detail about what he's looking for in these people, but he's going around killing people. He's in the 2099 realm. He's being followed by what is the new Fantastic Four from the 90s when it was Wolverine, Spider-Man, Hulk, and Ghost Rider. They're actually from different baronies, but they've been pulled together by Doom to track down the Punisher. There's an all-out battle. Punisher actually takes out Spider-Man, Hulk, and Ghost Rider, but Wolverine ends up killing him. The story ends with Wolverine leaving Doomstad and heading back to the Inferno realm where he's from. But you see the spirit of Strange above him, and Strange's story isn't done here. So I'm guessing they'll probably come back to this story at some point. I haven't gotten past this first issue. The second story in it is MODOK Madness. MODOK wants an army of himself because he believes that's the only way he'll be able to take over the world. So he teleports them in, and instead of being different MODOKs from other realities, there are different heroes that have become MODOKs. I noticed a Spider-Man, a Hulk, a Ghost Rider, a Deathlok, and many others, including a baby one. They pretty much all argue on who is the smartest one and eventually battle. The story ends with Thor showing up and finding that the original MODOK is laying on the ground ready to surrender. Soldier Supreme was a good story. I really enjoyed that one. If I rated that by itself, it'd probably be a 3.5. It was very entertaining, short. Not much to it, though. I did not care for the MODOK story. I give that probably a 1 out of 5. So overall for the issue, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. On to Armor Wars. I read issues 1 and 2 of this one. Issue 1 starts out with Peter Urich, a.k.a. the Spider-Man, being chased by through Technopolis, the barony. They don't really say who's really chasing him, but everyone there is in armor. It's the only way that they can stay alive. And then Spider-Man is killed by somebody. He knows who it is, but you don't actually get to see who the killer is. You switch over to Tony. He's talking about a dream he had with his brother Arno in it, without armor, as kids. They don't say anything about why they are in the armor now, but this dream is supposed to show that Arno and Tony at one time got along, but they don't anymore. They show the Thor of the region, which is Rhodey. He's the head of the police force there. They have Tony go visit Kiri Oshiro. She's another technology baron in the barony. Tony goes to her because he wants to buy her company, which is developing new armor. He wants to do it so Arno doesn't get it because he fears Arno's going to do something. Rhodey is called because of the Spider-Man death, and he calls Kiri to tell her that Peter's dead. Kiri and Peter were dating each other. Overall, this was a solid story. It gives a brief history of the barony. Going into number 2, Dr. Druid is performing the autopsy on Peter. There's a hole through his chest. Rhodey's there with him. He wants to see find out exactly what happened to him. As they take off his armor, he instantly decomposes, which gives a little hint of this disease that's on in Technopolis and what it'll do to an exposed person. You find out Rhodey's niece is friends with Kiri, and Kiri works on armor instead of mourning the loss of Peter. we jump to Arno, who's sitting with talking with the Kingpin. They're teaming up to try to take care of Tony, I'm thinking. But Arno sends Stingray to Kiri's office, where she's working on this armor, because they want to find out what's going on. And he sends him in stealth armor. He sneaks in. While he's there, they turn off the stealth armor to see. They want to see what her armor can do. And the only way they figure they can do it is have someone break in. You see this giant hand come and pretty much crush Stingray. We go back to Dr. Druid and Rhodey for the autopsy, and they discover that Peter's armor was infected by a symbiote virus. Sounds like Venom. Peter's system, though, recorded his death, and it showed who was the one that killed him, but they don't actually reveal it. They also find out that Peter had discovered how the virus started. Again, it's not something, it's just a tease for the next issue. Continue the story well, though. Felt a little slow at times, but it's setting up for the bigger picture, and I really liked it. I gave this one a 4 also. Now we're on to Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, issue 1. Peter and Mary Jane are married, and they have a daughter, Annie. Peter goes into the Daily Planet for work, and he's got a picture that he wants paper to run. But they said it's not important. Spider-Man's kind of on the back burner because heroes are starting to die or go missing. Punisher, Moon Knight, and Night Thrasher have all been confirmed killed. And Daredevil and Iron Fist are among those that are missing. So Peter hears this, gets in the Spider-Man costume, goes to the Avengers Mansion, where they said everyone's already there. And he was kind of puzzled by it because all the heroes were getting together. They find out many more are missing, including the X-Men, and that all the heroes that they know about are there with them. Tony Stark approaches Peter about bringing his family in for protection. Peter decided that was a good idea, but in the middle of it, they find out that there's a breakout at Rikers Island. Spider-Man leaves quickly because one of the criminals being held at Rikers Island is actually Venom, who knows Spidey's secret identity and his family. Spider-Man gets to the house, and Venom's already there, holding MJ and Annie hostage. Spider-Man starts to fight him, and they escape. The rest of the Avengers head to fight Augustus Roman, who's calling himself Regent. He's found a way to take powers from heroes and villains, including those of Professor X and Nightcrawlers are the ones he uses. While they're battling him, Spidey's fighting Venom, lures him to a burning building where the building collapses, and Venom appears to die. While that's happening, the heroes die fighting Regent. Spidey decides to retire that day because there are no other heroes, and he would rather see his family safe than try to take down Regent. Overall, it was a solid story. A lot packed into it. Don't see much about Regent, who he is, what's going on. I don't know anything about Augustus Roman. I believe he's an existing character, but I'm not sure. Kind of cool seeing him take other people's powers and using them. But the issue does end with a couple years down the line and things have changed. You see Vulture flying. I don't know if there's still some villains and heroes that are out there and they just haven't been caught or what. But I'm looking forward to reading the next issue. I gave this one a 4. Getting down to the end of the reading list, I'm on to Ghost Racers number 1. There's 5 racers: Robbie Reyes, Johnny Blaze, Dan Ketch, Alejandro Blaze, and Carter Slade. Robbie Reyes is the current Ghost Rider, and he actually drives a car. Johnny Blaze and Dan Ketch were the 2 established Ghost Riders before him. I don't really know anything about Alejandra Blaze. I don't know if she's related to Johnny. I don't know much about Carter Slade. I don't know if they've gone the route of the movies, which is there's all these different Ghost Riders through time. But Slade is one on a horse, so it could tie into that somehow. I'm not a huge Ghost Rider fan. I haven't read it steadily since the mid-90s. So basically in the story, Arcade hosts these races in a battle world where these 5 Ghost Riders race against each other. Some of the races, they have different obstacles. They've showed MODOKs, Sentinels, Sabretooth, other villains. After the race, Robbie Reyes goes back to hang out with his family, but the other Ghost Riders are taken someplace. Johnny Blaze and Dan Ketch actually go forcibly. They beat them both into submission. Reyes is kind of the golden boy right now. Everyone loves him. It's revealed at the end of the issue that Arcade is torturing the others, and his plan is to have Robbie die. Kind of a weak story. I didn't enjoy it a whole lot. Hopefully they get more in-depth, show a little more of the Ghost Riders, explain more why Arcade keeps the other ones contained and tortured. Like I said, it was weak on story. I'd give this one probably a 2 out of 5. Last review this week is A-Force number 2. I recorded the A-Force 1 review in the last mini that I released reviewing these. I enjoyed the first one, so right off the bat, they find out that there's a portal under the sea that brought the creature from the last issue. Nico, at the end of the last issue, also found that Captain Universe. We don't really know anything about her, though. We don't really learn much about her either. Nico takes her back to her house where she lives with Loki. Loki ends up discovering her and say, we have to take her to She-Hulk. Nico was kind of against it. She's still upset about America being sent off to the S.H.I.E.L.D. So they take her to the She-Hulk, where Medusa wants them to give her over to Doom. They don't know who she is. They don't know anything about her. That's what they're supposed to do. In the middle of all this, of the arguing between what they do, another portal opens and a Sentinel drops in. They find it. Captain Universe helps the team save innocent people that are there. The portal remained open. She-Hulk wants to go in and find out what's going on, and she ends up in a destroyed New York. It was more solid storytelling, but it didn't really seem like it progressed the story at all. That was probably the only thing that killed it. It had nice art. I like the characters that are in it. They haven't fleshed them out too much in this issue, but they set them up nicely in the first one. I'd give this one a 4 out of 5. So there you go. Reviews on 9 more of the Secret Wars titles. Overall, I'm enjoying the series. A lot of these little tie-in issues are fun. They explore all these different characters, all these different areas that you don't get to see. There's hints of the existing Marvel Universe there with the characters, but at the same time, they're giving them fresh takes, and that's really a lot of fun for someone that's read comics for 20-plus years. They're changing what you know about them and giving them fresh stories, something that with some of these characters haven't happened in a while, so I'm really glad to see that. I'm still very curious on how this is going to end and how this is all going to go back into one universe. Personally, I like the idea of the multiple universes. I loved when Ultimate Comics were released and had their own universe and they could retell these stories with a modern take. I'm just curious if we're going to lose everything in the Marvel history and have this new one. I'm also curious to see what happens with some of these characters they're bringing in, like having two Spider-Mans and Peter Parker and Miles Morales, and having Old Man Logan be the Wolverine of the universe. So I'm going to try to be back next week with more reviews. I want to try to get at least 10 to 12 more done in the next week. There's some really good series out there that I haven't even touched on yet. Like, I've got the rest of Deadpool's Secret Wars. There's House of M, which I haven't started yet. Guardians of Nowhere was pretty entertaining for the first issue. Masters of Kung Fu has been an underrated series, and I really, really enjoyed that one. And there's a fresh take on Runaways, which makes that pretty interesting too, that I'll talk about. So, there you go. Let me know what you think. If you're reading these Secret Wars comics, leave comments on the website. It's nerdcast.com, NYRDCAST. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Just look up Nerdcast and you'll find us. We'll be back on Thursday with a new episode.